Well, welcome back, dear ones, and happy Sabbath to you, and also to those joining us on the phone or listening to the recording. And so happy to have you back in fellowship with us. We're going to be talking about the gift of tongues. It'll be part two. It's our last part in this, the final part. And so let's get right into our service. Very important topic. Our opening song is titled, The Church Has One Foundation. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. The church has one foundation, 'tis Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died.
Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy God, it she passes, partakes of one communion, food, and to one hope she presses, with every grace in
Though with a scornful wonder we see her sore oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping, their cry goes up along. And soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song.
Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore. Till with the vision glorious, her longing eyes are blessed, and God's true church victorious shall finally be at rest. We're to be the church militant today. We're to indeed be living the gospel and spreading the gospel far and wide till every person on the earth has had a chance to hear it and decide for or against it. And then the end comes. All of this is for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that his church may be made up of precious souls that are saved by his blood and righteousness. Then will become the church triumphant, the church victorious. And we're on that sea of glass, praising the Lord. Please join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to become our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, Sanctifier, our substitute and surety, our sacrifice and life. And thank you, Savior, that you're making up your bride. And she's getting herself ready. That each precious soul who embraces the truth as it is in Jesus can become part of your body and thus part of your true church. And that soon you will be coming to take your bride home to the wedding feast and the marriage supper. Please help us to understand where we are in the stream of life. Help us to examine ourselves whether we are in the faith. And help us to see if there's false beliefs or erroneous ideas as to what is truth that we have accepted. And please, Spirit, impress the truth upon our hearts. Allow God's word to reprove and instruct and correct us. And give us the strength and the courage to cast away the error that we may cling to the truth. Let us fall in love with Jesus and with the truth that he stands for. We do not want to believe the lie like all the rest of the lost. We want to believe and follow the truth. Help us to have a love for it because it is truth. Not for position. Not for popularity, not for approbation, not for praise, but because we want to be set free from error. Not to have any connection with the devil, who's the author of falsehood, but to only have connection with Jesus, who is the author of truth. And thank you, Spirit, for being our teacher and our guide, instructing us in the ways of righteousness and truth, and for encouraging us to come up ever higher. We pray, dear Father and Savior and Spirit, that you'll continue to be abiding guests with each one. And indeed help us to see things we may have never seen before, that we might grow in grace and increase in knowledge as it is in Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to come together or allowing us to hear this recording. Thank you for the precious privilege of studying thy word to discover what is truth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. This is our Bible Spotlight series dealing with the gift of tongues. And this is part two, our final part in this short series. And last time we learned that the Bible mentions that there were three different times over a period of some 20 years that the true gift of tongues was given to God's people. And after examining the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in all three of these instances, we understood that the true gift of tongues was not vain babbling or gibberish that could be confused for a drunken man's speech. And neither was it a language that no one could understand or that had to be deciphered by the hearers. But all three of these instances revealed that The people there perfectly understood the use of foreign languages that were being spoken in order to spread the gospel message. But we also discovered that not only can God give the miraculous gift of speaking in other languages, but the devil can also speak through people. So this means that there can be a false gift of tongues or a counterfeit tongue speaking. So not all speaking in tongues comes from God, but there's also a counterfeit. We then examined the type of tongue speaking that was taking place among the believers in the church of Corinth. And we learned that the Apostle Paul was actually rebuking and chastening these believers because they had allowed a counterfeit tongue speaking into their midst. So Paul was not teaching that this counterfeit tongues was something we should desire, and neither was he teaching that we should speak without understanding, or that we should speak in a babbling or gibberish language that no one can understand. But Paul was trying to keep this false type of tongue speaking from continuing to be a problem in the Corinthian church. And so he emphasized to them the main purpose of tongues, that it was a sign, not to those who already believe the gospel, but it was a sign for unbelievers. And in following this counsel, then tongues would become a divine sign to these unbelievers as to who was proclaiming the real gospel truth. And we went through all of those principles there that Paul brought out to in his letters to the Corinthian brethren. Now, the incident recorded in Acts chapter 2 is the very first time that the true gift of tongues was given. But this was not the very first time that a miraculous gift of tongues had ever been spoken. And we'll learn more about this today. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes that I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID1304.htm. So lightministries.com/1304.htm. If you look at quote number one, for many centuries prior to the true gift of tongues being first given after the ascension of Jesus Christ, there was a miraculous gift of tongues that had been observed and historically recorded in its occurrence. And the first historical evidence of miraculous speaking in tongues was among the Babylonian prophets. The male prophets of Babylon were called Mahu or Mahum, and the female prophets were called Mahutu or Mahutum. And this Babylon word means ecstatic. And it's derived from Mahu, which means to become crazy or to go into a frenzy. And you can find the references for that listed there. So when these Babylonian prophets, both male and female, were spontaneously under the direct influence or possession of their god Marduk, or the female counterpart of Marduk, which was referred to as Ishtar, they were receiving and transmitting divine words in an altered state of mind. And in such a state, they would go into an uncontrollable frenzy, and their speech would become ecstatic, or in other words, they would be speaking in tongues. Now, the tongues that these ecstatic Babylonian prophets were speaking in were not known languages that could be understood, but they were non-language utterances or unknown tongues that they were speaking. And since no one can understand their ecstatic speech, then the Babylonian priests declared that it had to be the tongues of the gods. And then they tried their best to decipher or interpret what the gods were supposedly communicating through the prophets. But it was not only in Babylon that speaking in these unknown tongues was manifested among the pagans. From the Evangelical Dictionary of Theology on page 1100 is this statement. There are records of ecstatic speech and the like in Egypt in the 11th century BC. So it wasn't just in Babylon that ecstatic tongues were being spoken, but also in Egypt. And there have been other recorded and documented instances of miraculous but unknown tongue speaking occurring in both ancient as well as in modern times in these following religious circles. Greek priests and priestesses spoke in ecstatic tongues. Shamans and medicine men also did so. Various African tribes had it recorded that they would have ecstatic speech. Also among Tibetan monks, Hudson Bay Eskimos, North Borneo pagans, and even an Islamic saint spoke in unknown tongues. And these occurrences of tongue speaking among these pagan groups were not the tongues of known languages, but were of unknown languages. Now, if you look at quote number two. Now, obviously, the gift of tongues being manifested among all these pagan groups was not from the God of heaven, and so it had to be from the devil, and thus it was a counterfeit of the true gift of tongues. And Satan is continuing to manifest this counterfeit gift of tongue speaking in unknown languages among more than just the pagan groups. But again, the miracle of the true gift of tongues was that God's people could speak existing languages which they had never studied or learned before, so that their foreign listeners could recognize and clearly understand the gospel message that they were speaking. So if people today were really speaking in the true gift of tongues, then a person would suddenly be able to speak the gospel message in the language of the French or Spanish, Russian, etc., to those foreigners who would understand these languages that they were speaking. But this is not what happens in the modern tongue movement of today. The vast majority do not speak real languages, but unknown languages, and at times pure gibberish. In fact, the following is a modern example of someone speaking in an unknown tongue that was recorded and then transcribed. And see if you can pick out any of the words being used here in what they were speaking. Quote, prow, pray, prode, pa, palisate, pa, pal, poupe, telly, teratata, ta, teria, ti, ttt, vol, verte, vum, eli, lete, lede, lutu, singe, 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 imba, imba, imma. Now, could you understand any of the words there? You could understand pray. You can understand singe because they had meanings. But all the rest of it was gibberish. it was not any language at all that was in any way constructive. So this shows that the so-called unknown tongue speaking of today is just like it was with the pagans, and it has nothing to do with the true gift of tongues from God, and so it is a counterfeit from the devil. But yet many people believe that they are really being blessed with the true gifts of tongues from the Holy Spirit. If you look at quote number 3. And there are many sincere and honest Christians today who, just like it was in Corinth, have spoken in this counterfeit type of tongues. And many of these dear people do not know that this is not the true gift as spoken of in the scriptures. They truly love the Lord. And they have thought that this is exactly what God desired them to do. And God in mercy has winked at the times of their ignorance in this matter. And since they are ignorant of it, God does not condemn them for their honest mistakes. But God doesn't want to leave them in ignorance. And so he's revealing truth and commanding all to repent of their errors and mistakes, as we're told in Acts 17, verse 30. Each one of us is going to be judged by the light that we have received and by the use we have made of that light. And mercifully, the Lord allows correction and instruction to come to us because he loves us and does not want any of us to be deceived and lost. He tells us in Ezekiel 18, verse 23, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord, and not that he should return from his ways and live?" And in Revelation 3:19, he tells us, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." So God doesn't want us to be destroyed in our ignorance. He wants us to awaken, to recognize we've been led astray, to repent of that, and get on the correct path that leads to eternal life. Now, many believe that all supernatural manifestations have to be from God. If you look at quote number 4. But this idea is actually one of the most dangerous views to hold because it opens your mind up to any of the deceptions that the devil can bring about as long as it can be classified as supernatural. And it's already been clearly shown that there have been historically documented and recorded instances of supernatural manifestations among heathen nations, and that demons can speak through human beings. So not all supernatural manifestations are from God. They can also be from the devil. And it's for this very reason that the Bible gives us very clear warnings. In 1 John 4:1, God tells us, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Also in 1 Timothy 4:1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." So in these latter times in which we're living, with these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils becoming so prevalent, then we must test every supernatural manifestation that comes to us purporting to be from God. So just because an event or an occurrence such as unknown tongue speaking takes place does not mean that it's from God. In 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 to 15, Paul brings out this point. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So the devil, in order to try and deceive us with the counterfeit gospel, has his workers transformed into ministers of righteousness. They appear to be God's ministers, God's followers, but they're the devil's agents. And the only way we're going to know between who's following God and who's following the devil, who's a minister of God and who's a minister of the Satan, is by testing their actions and their words by God's word of truth. We can't just go on appearance. We can't go on, well, I think they speak really well, so they have to be from God. We can't trust to what we see. We have to test by God's word. So we cannot go by our feelings. We cannot go by what we see to determine whether something is good or bad, because the devil can disguise himself and appear as a glorious angel of light. And he can make his agents appear as the ministers of righteousness. So the absolute worst thing to do is to test if something is from God or not based on how we feel about it or upon what we saw take place. We look at quote number 5. The devil can play upon the ever-changing and fickle emotions of millions of sincere but deceived people today. And he can trick you into believing that what you saw was real when it was not real at all. It was but an illusion. So we must test and prove every spirit, every messenger, and every message purporting to be from God. And we must test every supernatural manifestation to see if it's from God or not. But how do we go about testing spiritualistic manifestations? In Isaiah 8:20, God tells us, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So if the law and the testimony, in other words, the Bible and the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy, is not adhered to or is not in harmony with what they are saying or what they are doing, then they are not from God. God's Spirit will always work and teach in accordance with God's law and Bible truth. God's law is the foundation of his government. It is the transcript of his character. And God has declared that he will never alter his law. You can find that in Psalms 89, verse 34, and Luke 16, verse 17. So then, if a spiritualistic manifestation is not in accordance with God's Ten Commandment law, as well as the rest of Scripture, then there is no light in it. God's word doesn't say there's some light in them. It says there's no light in them. So this reveals that it doesn't matter how wonderful it may feel. It doesn't matter how real it may look. It doesn't matter how high the profession may be. If all of God's law and his inspired word of truth is not being upheld and followed, then there's absolutely no light in it. It's just a false spiritualistic manifestation originating from the devil, and it cannot be trusted. So this one text in Isaiah 8:20 exposes the fallacy of hundreds of spiritualistic manifestations in tongue speaking that's occurring today, and proves that God's Holy Spirit is not the power behind it. If you look at quote number 6, very important point here. God only sends his Holy Spirit to those who are keeping his commandments. He does not send his Holy Spirit to commandment breakers. We're told in Acts 5 verse 32, the Holy Spirit whom God hath given to them that obey him. But many who are really using counterfeit tongues have tried to substantiate their claim that what they are doing was really from God because of all the miracles and the healings that accompanied these unknown tongues speaking. If you look at quote number 7. But once again, we investigate from the scriptures to see whether miracles are a valid test to use in determining whether something is true or false. We do not investigate from our feelings or from miracles that occur or appear to occur as to whether something is true or false. God's word tells us. In 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 8 to 10, and then shall that wicked be revealed, after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. This text reveals that it's not safe to trust in miracles, because we are specifically warned that there will be counterfeit signs and lying wonders worked among us in order to deceive us. The devil can work with power, signs, and lying wonders to deceive. In fact, we're warned that the devil and his agents will work miracles in these last days in which we live. In Revelation 13, verse 13, and Revelation 16, verse 14, he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. So we've been warned that the devil and his agents will work miracles, will bring about signs and deceptive wonders in these last days, all for the purpose of deceiving us. So this means that just because a church or a person exhibits supernatural workings, like speaking in unknown tongues, or being slain in the spirit, or healing diseases, etc., this doesn't mean that God's Holy Spirit was involved at all in those manifestations. So miracles is not a test on what something is true or false. God's word is the test on what something is true or false. We look at quote number 8. The Bible also reveals that the most important work of the Holy Spirit is not to manifest himself through miracles of healing or through the gift of tongues, as many people believe. But the most important function of the Holy Spirit is to lead God's people into the truth. We're told in John 16, verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. This verse reveals that the work and the function of the Holy Spirit is to guide God's people into correctly understanding the truth found in God's inspired word. That's why the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Truth. So if there should be a spiritual manifestation from God's Spirit in our midst, it would be for the purpose of instructing God's people with the truth and not leading them or letting them to remain in error. That's why when the Spirit was manifested in the gift of tongues with the apostles, foreign known languages were spoken that led the people, led the listeners, the foreigners there, to understand more clearly the gospel truth. Because it's the work of the Spirit to guide into all truth. Now the Bible also is very clear that God gives the gift of prophecy to guide his people into the truth as well. We're told in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 28 and also Ephesians 4 verses 8 to 16 that God gives the gifts of pastors, evangelists, apostles, and other important positions to his people in order to lead them into the truth. God gives the gift of tongues to be able to communicate this truth to those who were otherwise not be able to understand it. And this is because the truth alone sets us free in Christ Jesus. And then Jesus sets us free from sin and death. So you can see that everything hinges upon the truth reaching the people to set them free from error and to set them free from sin and death. Now the devil knows this. So then the gifts that he gives would work just to the opposite. They would not lead people into all the truth, but they would lead them into error and falsehood. So his counterfeit gift of tongues would not be able to communicate the truth to anyone, which then would also include utterances that no one could understand or interpret. If what we are saying is not understood by those listening to us, then it would be no different than if we would be speaking into the air without anyone listening to us. No one would be benefited. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 11, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. So the entire point of speaking is to communicate, and it would do absolutely no good for us to speak with another if we didn't know what each other was saying. So you can see that there's no value in speaking in tongues without you or your listeners understanding what you're saying. Unknown babbling does not communicate anything. So this shows that the vast majority of modern tongue speaking is not from God at all, because it does not abide by the instructions found in God's word of truth. And it is very dangerous to submit yourself to the working of any spirit that is not from God. Now, the Holy Spirit was not giving approval to that which was unprofitable and disorderly among the Corinthians. I mean, that's pretty clear. And neither was the Holy Spirit working in the modern tongue-speaking churches of today. If these churches have the real Pentecostal experience like the apostles did, then modern tongue speakers would speak known existing languages that would benefit their listeners. But to do otherwise, to speak languages that benefit no one, is just the counterfeit of the devil. Now, if you look at quote number 9, some might counter or argue that speaking in unknown or in uninterpreted tongues is just the person speaking or praying unto God and not to men. Because Paul does bring out that point in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2 and verse 14. But since God is the creator of all languages, then God understands all languages. So then why would you need to speak unto God or pray unto God in another language that neither you nor anyone else can understand or interpret, when you can speak and pray to God in your own language? Besides, Paul was very explicit to command those speaking in unknown or uninterpreted languages to be quiet and not speak these. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 27 to 28, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Now, the only way that we can be safe in these last days, especially when every deception and falsehood is so prevalent, is to become diligent studiers of the Bible for ourselves, and then to strive to live by every word that we read, and to test all spiritual manifestations by God's inspired word of truth. Now, the real problem comes in when we see that God's word conflicts with what we believe. Do we then believe the Bible? Or do we continue believing what's wrong? Do we change our beliefs to agree with what the Scripture says? Or do we keep our beliefs and reject what the Bible says? If you look at quote number 10. Jesus has foretold that certain words will be spoken to those who choose to follow their own ways instead of following the ways of God. And these are the words he said will be spoken to them. In Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So there are going to be many individuals who have prophesied, many who have cast out devils, many who have done miracles, even speaking in tongues. But Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. And what's the reason why he denies them? Because they were involved in the deceptive counterfeit of the devil, and they did not keep all of God's commandments, but continued to work iniquity. So then if you want to avoid hearing these terrible words spoken against yourself and losing salvation, you must be following and doing God's will and keeping all of his commandments because you love him. That's the only way to avoid hearing Christ say to you, I never knew you. Depart from me because you've broken the commandments. So if you want to hear these words, then continue breaking the commandments. Continue believing in a counterfeit. But if you don't want to hear these words spoken to you, then you must be a follower and a doer of God's will and keep his commandments out of love. We're told in John 14, verses 15 to 16, verse 21, 26, and 15, verse 10. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We're also told in Revelation 22, verses 14 to 15, Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. In other words, whosoever will not remove themselves from deception or from false doctrines will not be in the kingdom of heaven. In this study, we've seen that the modern tongue-speaking movement that many are involved in, especially among the charismatic and evangelical churches of today, actually fails the test of God's word. So the Bible spotlight has revealed it to be a counterfeit tongues, a fake, a falsehood, and a lie, a deception that was sent by Satan to fool people into accepting false doctrines and losing eternal life. Yet God, in love and mercy for his honest people, doesn't want to see any of them deceived by this counterfeit of the devil and lost. So in order to save them, God calls all of his true followers who may find themselves connected to any of these churches and groups that speak non-language tongues, or in any other movements which are breaking some or all of God's commandments, to come out and separate from all of these churches and these groups, so that they will not be deceived and lost, but instead freed and saved. He tells us in Revelation 18, verses 4 and 5, this is quote number 11, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Dear ones, this is God's command in order to save your life. Will you heed God's merciful and loving call? Or will you continue to cling to a lie, to falsehood, to deception, because you love it more than following God and His truth? Praise God for opening our eyes and understanding to the deception by His word. Praise God for letting us know what His will is when we find ourselves connected to falsehood or to churches that are practicing falsehood. And may we plead with God for the grace and the strength, pleading for the Spirit to empower us, that we might flee from the counterfeit, flee from the devil, flee from his churches, that we might connect ourselves directly with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and be shielded in his loving arms. May we come out of her and follow Jesus, the truth. Our closing song is The Bible Stands. The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands, and it will forever when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundations, for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Heaven and earth may pass away, Christ says, but his word endures forever. If we cling to the word of truth, our feet are firmly planted on the rock Christ Jesus, and salvation, eternal life, will be ours. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. May we love him and love the truth that he stands for, and give up, separate ourselves, cast away everything that is not truth. Shall we pray? Precious Father in heaven, we praise your holy name for your long suffering to each one of us. Not casting us away because of our ignorance, but instead holding out to us a better way, holding out to us the truth, removing our ignorance by sending us the Spirit to lead and guide us into truth. Thank you for your great mercy and grace in this. And thank you also for your courage to recognize that we have been following error, not following the truth, and then leading us to change, to go from darkness to light, from error to truth. And you're with us every step of the way, encouraging and empowering us to move upward, hand in hand with Jesus, if we will just open our heart's door to let Jesus in. He will bring us the light of truth, which exposes and dispels the darkness of error. Let us cling to our Savior in every situation and cast away the devil. The devil cannot bring us salvation. We cannot live on the wages that he pays his followers, for the wages of sin is death. It's foolishness to cling to doctrines that we know God's word condemns, that God's word does not agree with. Help us to detach our emotions from doctrines, from practices that are not in accordance with your word of truth. And help us to fix our emotions on Jesus. and to follow the Lamb whithersoever he leads us, because he will never lead us astray. He will only lead us to eternal life. Thank you for giving us our probationary time. Thank you for letting us know that time is short. Thank you for allowing us the precious privilege to be accepted in the Beloved, a child of the Heavenly King, an heir of the Kingdom of Righteousness, if we will just crucify and cast away everything connected with the devil. We want Jesus. We don't want Satan. And please, Spirit, open our understanding to see who we're clinging to in every area of our life. And give us the grace and the strength and the courage to say no to the devil, but yes to Jesus. In his precious name we pray, and thank you for making it all possible. Amen. Praise God for his word of truth. It will stand forever. Dear ones, are there any other thoughts, comments, questions, testimonies, songs, or requests that you'd like to bring forth at this time? Please feel free to do so.
I remember growing up, and my family is, as y'all know, everyone is big in church and hold some type of responsibility. But I remember being about 16, 17 years old, and I went to a Baptist church at the time. My sister and I used to sing everywhere. So we used to travel Texas, and just wherever we were booked, we were singing somewhere. So we went to this church, sang with, we found this church through Kurt Franklin. I don't know if y'all know who these people are, but Kurt Franklin, we used to sing with them. But we went to this church and we were accepted. And I remember during choir rehearsal, this girl came to me and she came and whispered in my ear and she said, "Your sister has a demon." And I'm like, I looked at her, I turned around and looked at her like, "What's wrong with you? And why are you coming to me telling me this?" I said, "Why don't you go to God? Because I can't do nothing about it." So she said, "Your sister has a demon." And I'm like, "And how do you know?" And so she went down and I looked at my sister. My sister appeared normal to me. So she went down and spoke with my sister and caught herself putting her hands on my sister's head and trying to pray this demon that she so-called said that she had out. All I know is the next thing I saw is my sister had threw herself on the floor and was foaming at the mouth. And I went and told the pastor and I said, "This girl did this to her." And that was the last time I let anybody touch me when they think that they're trying to pray. I will never let anyone put their hands on my head when they're praying, because I don't know who they are, what walk of life they're living and have lived, what they, none of that. So when we were talking about the, and I'll quote, the speaking in tongues, I take it now as witchcraft, because I don't know what they're saying. And to me, it just sounds like you're summoning something that shouldn't be there in the first place. So after I saw all of that and was a witness to that firsthand, I completely understand, and I will not, there's just certain things, if I see it or hear it, I turn and I leave because there's something in me that's, I just get discomforted. Like my spirit is not at ease, so I have to leave. So I just want everyone to know, never, unless you know their walk of life, do not allow anyone to lay hands on you while they're praying or think they're praying, because you don't know what's going on unless the Lord tells you, because God is not going to tell them something without telling you. So just make sure you know what's going on before you allow anyone to do anything, because you don't know. Like Elder Rob said, you have to test the spirit.
Amen. And thank you for your testimony and your counsel, dear sister. And, you know, Paul is very clear in the scriptures, lay hands suddenly on no man. And a lot of times when the individuals are slain in the spirit, it's because someone, a pastor or some other individual, has come up to their forehead and placed their hand very forcefully on their head, and then they go into this convulsion and foaming at the mouth and so on. And if you look in the scripture record, those that were on the ground foaming were not those that had the Spirit of God, but those that had the demon that Christ was casting out. So it's not of God what you described, and praise the Lord that you're uncomfortable with it and you don't have a desire or a curiosity to experience that. Are there any other thoughts or comments or testimonies, dear ones? Please feel free.
I have two testimonies. My week was kind of really hectic and kind of crazy. But two things that came out of it that was good, talking about the topic. I know that you all are acquainted a little bit with a case that the Lord had brought. The individual had the pancreatic cancer. If y'all remember? Okay. Everything was going great through the natural remedies and the simple way of changing diet. Her vitals and her tumor went down to 9.8. After that, she has a lot of family and a lot of acquaintances that are basically Pentecostal. And also, she has Seventh Day Adventists among her too. She has Buddhists among her too. She had people that are Catholic, but from Italy. And there were so many different people. Anytime when someone is ill, everybody comes with either relics, little shrines, little whatever they can bring, because they say that it will help them. And the Lord separated me for a little minute, and because of the pandemic, but also he separated me. I guess she needed to be able to kind of think about who was the one that's really holding her life and who's the only one that can spare her. So because of the pandemic, I was not able to minister the meal or cook or anything like that. But while I was away, I was praying. And I didn't hear from her, but I was walking from my sister's store to come home one Saturday, because I went to meet some brethren that have came by. I was compelled to move to go home, so I told them that I was supposed to leave. And as I was walking, Joshie said he was going to leave with me. And I was walking, coming home, and I hear my name called, but the way how this individual called me, he sounded like my father, but I know my father is not here. So I kept looking around to see who was the one that was calling me. And Joshua was trying to look also, because this was like after Sabbath. We went and take my sister home, and when we was on our way coming back is when we had to stop at the store to meet the other brethren. And Joshie said, Mommy, I think it's PJ, which is my nephew from my younger sister. And then I said, no, he doesn't have a black car. So I didn't have my glasses. So when the person kept calling my name, I kind of focused a little when I realized it was the lady's husband. And I said, hi, how you doing? So I came close to the car, and then he was saying, Rose, I don't know. It's really bad because she went back and take chemo, and she lost all of her hair. And, you know, so I was very sad. I was very sad because she was so close to remission. So as I sat and started to, not really sat, but meaning standing, speaking to the husband, I could see how he was really in distress because he was telling me, he says, at this point, I'm kind of preparing my children because they're going to lose their mother. So then I said, by God's grace, everything is possible. He said, I don't know what else to do. So then I said, you know, I'm at the point where I'm willing to quarantine myself with her, but I will leave New York and see, because she has a best friend in Pennsylvania, and I was telling her I will quarantine with her because she has like Airbnb. So he said, well, I don't think she's going to do it. She's kind of scared. So then I said, well, we can pray about it. He says, Rose, she's not going to do it. So then I kind of walked away with a heavy heart, and I went home. And if I would have never left, I would have never seen her husband. While I was home, I was explaining to Gina what happened, because it was through my sister that she had came in the store looking for Gina because she had heard what had happened with my father in his situation with his health, and he wanted to see if she could be able to be helped with that too. While I was trying to collect myself, every time when I try to call her, we would go into voicemail, you know, call her. So I just kept it in prayer. And then one day she just happened to call me. And then I say, hi. And she said, how you doing? So I said, Donette, is it possible that you can't check your numbers? I want to see. She says, Rose, I don't really want to see it. And I said, well, by ignoring it, it's not going to help you. At least you will know exactly where you are and what we can be able to do. So she handed me her portal where I can be able to go in to be able to see. Like that, I was able to see the blood works, and the CT scan and everything. By my surprise, the tumor went up to 172. No, now it's 74. And I was a little bit startled, but also see how the Lord spared, because it could have been worse. Because it's been since March. I haven't administered anything to her. So when you really think about it, cancer runs really quick. And to see how the Lord was like maintaining it, it was, to me, it was really through prayer, because it's not only myself praying, but all of y'all have been praying for her as well. So with this situation now, I have a dear sister that I sent the information to, and I was just trying to say, please let me know how much do we have to be able to help her. In the midst of the conversation, the reason why I'm giving this testimony is because of the study that we have, which is going to be the study that I'm going to try to send her because it's very vital. She said to me, why don't you come into my prayer group? I was never really moved to do that because I know that in the midst of the people that she's in, it's like a combination of a lot of different people with different religion. And especially her church, she's a Pentecostal. And then I told her, I don't think that I would like to do that, but I will continue praying for you. She says, no, I really would have liked you. The other day I heard someone that was speaking and I thought it was you. I said, no, my sister, that was not me. So she says, no, because something had happened. There was a lady that came into the prayer group and she was saying she just lost someone, and she was saying that how that person is looking down on her from heaven. And the person said, no, my sister, the dead doesn't know anything. So she thought it was me. I said, no, that was not me. So she said, I want to talk about the tongue. And then I said, question. When the lady said that, you know, did she explain why the reason, you know, why she said that statement? She said, actually, no. What she did was to take the lady, and she got off the line with her. And then I said, so has the lady been back? She said, yeah, she was back. And did they discuss it? She says, no, we didn't discuss anything. And then I said, so why didn't you ask the lady, where did she come to understand that? I just wanted to know who was the individual that was actually speaking. So she says, well, I would like to ask you. And then I said, you know, we have to test the spirit, dear sister. And even though that there's a prayer group, everybody that is there is praying, but they're actually praying to their God individually in their mind. And that is kind of like a mist of confusion. But if you would like to talk about the state of the dead, because she was saying, what happens to the person when the person is burned? So being that her vitals were high, and usually when people are under a lot of stress when they have cancer, it's not really good for them. So then I said, let us first concentrate on your health. Because once your body is strong enough, then we definitely can be able to go into study. Because I don't want to go into any kind of debate. So she said, okay, that was one. I was praying, okay, Lord, I would like to have something put together. And here comes the two study that Elder Rob is actually sharing, which is great, because meanwhile she can go on her own and she can be able to read. Then in that same week, there was someone that sent me a text, and they said they wanted me to see this particular video of this so-called prophet that was prophesying something, and not knowing it was a member of the family of the young man, not young man, he's older man, that had the colon cancer that passed. And it was a family member that we had contact on the phone, you know, praying and things like that and sharing certain things of the Bible that she wanted me to see. I was not impressed to be able to see the video. I started to notice that mostly a lot of people send their belief with their videos and the people talking in tongues. So I always tell the individual, if you were impressed on the information, what is it that you have been impressed with? And did they give you any kind of biblical quotation to support it? So why don't you look at it and you just share with me what it was that they shared? You know, Elder Rob and everybody, I notice every time when I tell these people that, they come back and said, well, there was no scripture in it. And I said, really? And I said, no. So isn't that a little bit alarming? She says, no, but you know, she sounded so good and is really going accordingly. Do you know out of those individuals that had sent material where they wanted me to be able to see it, it is horrifying to be hearing the pastors speaking, and I didn't want it to be able to keep my mind in the midst of that. So I asked them to go and look at it and to look and see what they were convicted on and bring it back, and then we will go into a Bible study. Do you know that the sister of that young man, from the time that we had spoken and she went in and couldn't find anything, now we have Bible study every day at her time, because she's in Texas. Her time is 11, my time is 12. It had turned the whole things in my day upside down, because I have to do projects and things like that. But praise the Lord, Elder Rob, it brought another individual of the family. I didn't know why my connection was with the man that died, but I noticed that it was to bring the family the gospel. So please keep Berta in prayer, and also her cousin, that is Enya, and the family members, because now they are being open to be able to hear the gospel, but I'm not, thus said the Lord. And I was not I was so glad that I didn't have to look at the video and I didn't have to hear the dream that the lady had or anything like that. And out of standing, afar off from the influence of the things that they want to bring for you to sit down, it had opened a way for Bible study for different individuals on the case that they were impressing. I just wanted to share that.
Amen. God works in marvelous ways. And praise the Lord, dear sister, that you were able to work with the individuals and also have an inroad into the family members, which is fantastic. And we will continue to keep them in prayer, and we'll add to our prayers the individual that you're now studying with. And may the truth reign supreme in their hearts. Well, praise the Lord, dear sister, and keep up the good work. Are there any other testimonies or thoughts, questions, comments, songs, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones?
And I also have a praise. I forgot about it. This one I definitely have to be able to. Remember that I took a class and I passed it. I had to wait for the other class. The Lord gave me a little break in between. But the other class that I'm supposed to have, it is how to analyze urine and saliva. And the book is bigger. Sorry for all of the things that fallen. And I didn't know that this time we needed to be able to join the meeting live. It's similar to, it's basically it's in Zoom. I would say that I don't know if y'all are acquainted with the IIOM. It's International Institute of Original Medicine. They have a lot of, I noticed that there's a lot of Seventh-day Adventists and other Christians that are there going to school. So when I went into the class, it's supposed to be every Tuesday at 2 o'clock. They have like the doctors, they have doctors that are speakers and they have a lot of nurses and things like that. The praise that I have is that being that I stay on the computer a lot, and a lot of the work that I have is actually on the computer, they gave tools how to be able to exercise while you're sitting on the computer to be able to allow the lymphatic system to be able to move. And I noticed that this is one of the things then that I was actually asking the Lord to kind of help me, because you get so caught up doing things in the computer, you don't get to move as much as you want it. I used to be really active before. I would ride bike. I even got a kangaroo's boots that was given to me as a present. It makes you jump and it helps the lymph, but I haven't even had the chance to be able to do that. So by God's grace, I'm now getting a little bit of tools where we can be able to incorporate that the Lord would allow me to move around more than I used to before. So that is a praise that I would like to thank God for. And the classes are very interesting because I have so many different cases with people with cancer, now I can have also the ability to ask questions to actual doctors that are there that just use natural remedies. So the Lord opened another door, and I just wanted to give a praise to that. The class says it's not only for the time that we are going to school, that we can always come in and participate anytime or ask any question for anything. So it is a good tool. So I just wanted to thank God for that.
Amen. This sounds like a really good place for information and practical ideas on how to handle different situations. Now, thanks for sharing, dear sister. Dear ones, are there any other thoughts or comments that you'd like to make before we close today's service? And please go right ahead. Well, dear ones, thank you for your participation and your fellowship on this wonderful Sabbath. And I'd like to leave you with this hymn. In a little while, let us sing a song that will cheer us by the way. In a little while we're going home, for the night will end in the everlasting day. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home.
We will do the work that our hands may find to do. In a little while we're going home. And the grace of God will our daily strength renew. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows from blue to blue. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home. Amen.
We will smooth the path for some weary, way-worn feet. In a little while we're going home. And may loving hearts spread around an influence sweet. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home.
There's a rest beyond, there's relief from every care. In a little while we're going home, and no tears shall fall in that city bright and fair. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're a day closer to Jesus Christ coming to take us home. So, dear ones, until we meet again, keep looking up.
Keep looking up. Thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up. He will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.
Thank you.